Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. Hey, it's finally Friday. I am jazzed about that. Can I say the word jazzed? That's an old-fashioned word. I think I started using that word in the 80s, back when I used to like to watch, you know, Striper videos. But that that has really dated me. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of flashing back here for a moment, thinking back to the good old days. Hey, how do you find true contentment in life? And what's up with millennials and so-called starter marriages? Chris Martin is Faith Radio's Millennial Evangelical, and he joins us by Skype to weigh in on those topics and more. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Boy, that Skype connection sounds great. You sound like you're right here in the room with me. That is awesome. So you wrote this this great piece on contentment, and I know it certainly challenged my thinking. Let's unpack that a bit, because I think a lot of us are looking for contentment in all the wrong places, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, contentment's been one of my favorite topics to both write about and then preach about when I have the opportunity to preach in various places. It's one of my favorite things to talk about too, because I think even the quote unquote best Christians, or the Christians who seem to have it all together, struggle with contentment a lot of times. You know, even if you don't have your pet sin that you feel like you always struggle with or things like that, you do probably struggle with being content. And one of the ways that, that kind of manifests itself is if you lash out at your kids unnecessarily, or you get overly frustrated by a circumstance at work or something like that. Contentment is a difficult thing to maintain. A lot of times we find our contentment in three false sources, three false places that simply can't bear the weight of contentment in our lives. The first one, probably most commonly, is our circumstances. You know, if life's going well and your kids are doing what you're telling them to do and school is going well, or you just got a promotion at work, you're as content as can be. What is there to be discontented about? But if things go bad, if your kids get in trouble at school, if, you know, your job may be in jeopardy or things like that, then you're all of a sudden not content anymore. And you know, those things are you're right to be concerned about those things. You know, it's not wrong to be concerned about things like that and be interested in fixing them or whatever. But finding your contentment in your circumstances is like building your house on the sand, really.
You had a personal experience, didn't you, just in the last couple of years, where you were looking for contentment in maybe your geographical circumstances and you weren't finding it?
Yeah. My wife and I moved to Nashville just about 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. And we really enjoyed Nashville and stuff and the city and all of that sort of thing in our jobs. But we're 7 hours away from all of our friends and family that we've ever known, because we both grew up in Indiana and went to college in Indiana. And so I was struggling finding contentment in where I was because I wanted to be back close to my friends and family. But what I did was I realized that eventually. And only recently, about 6 months ago, and I said, okay, I need to not be trying to find my contentment in where I am, but find my contentment ultimately in the cross, in Jesus. And that's the true source of contentment, because it's the untouchable source of contentment. You know, the first false source of contentment that I mentioned was our circumstances. The other two is our stuff and ourselves. Those are also two false sources of contentment. But if we can find our contentment in Christ and in what he's done for us on the cross, that's a source of contentment that's untouchable and cannot change. And so we will always be content, and therefore I think find joy even when the self, stuff, or circumstances aren't really falling into place like we'd like them to.
Now, let's unpack the stuff and the self aspects, because I think a lot of us maybe don't even realize when we're doing this. That you say in your article, you say Christmas morning rolls around, your family's tearing open presents, and it turns out you got the blank you always wanted. Whatever it is, it probably gets old after a while. And you say, even my all-time favorite Christmas gifts lose their luster after a number of years, if not after a couple of minutes. But we live in a culture where we are sold a bill of goods, really, by expert marketers. And all you have to do is sit down and watch TV for a half hour, and you are convinced that you need this and that. And boy, if I don't have that new Acura, I ain't going to be happy. So let's talk about how that is so contrary to what we read in Scripture, and how we need to really hold on to our stuff loosely.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned in there right after what you just read, I say your house will flood, your car will break down, perhaps even crash. If a small kind of anecdote that I didn't include in here that kind of is where that comes from. Both the night before my wife and I got married, both of our houses flooded with this terrible rainstorm that came through our town. And so that's like a perfect example in my head of finding contentment in your stuff, because – you know, we could have been distraught, and we were, but we could have let that wreck our day. But ultimately, we tried to not find our contentment in our houses and stuff, and ultimately our flooded houses, but then find our contentment in the joy of what we were experiencing and how it reflected Christ's relationship with us in our marriage that day. So that's kind of part of why I wrote that how I did. But yeah, you're exactly right, Bill. Culture and marketers, you know, I'm a marketer kind of in my job, know that we want stuff more than anything. They know that we find our contentment in our stuff. Now, what the job of the Christian is to do is to hold stuff loosely with an open hand, like you say, store up treasures in heaven, because, you know, stuff is stuff, but it's also money. You know, I mean, money is stuff. It's not just possessions or items that you use money to buy, but we hold on to our things loosely, give generously, and show that these items and this money doesn't sit on the throne of our heart, that Christ ultimately sits on the throne of our heart, and that determines the way in which we hold or give away or use our stuff.
You think about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus in the Gospels, and we read different accounts about what he said in his interaction with Jesus. But basically, here's a guy who, you know, has been doing his best to keep God's commandments as he understands them. And then, you know, Jesus says, hey, you pretty much got it down. Now, just sell everything you have and give to the poor. And the guy sadly walks away. And what does Jesus say? It's harder for the rich man to go through the eye, or for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that riches of themselves and that having money, having possessions are going to, you know, keep us from eternal life with Jesus Christ. That's, you know, guaranteed for the believer. But it can prevent us from making that decision in the first place. And certainly in this life, it can crowd out that in enduring joy that we find through finding our contentment in him, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And the illustration I kind of always fall back to in Scripture that I'll bring up, especially if I'm preaching on this, is you know, the passage where Jesus is talking about the man who built his house on the rock and the man who built his house on the sand. The man who built his house on the rock builds his house on Christ, his life on Christ, the solid rock that can withstand any storm. The man who builds his house on the sand is building himself on a false foundation that simply can't bear the weight of his life and his striving after godliness. And the thing that all of us have to remember, and this is, you know, sometimes this can become a cliche point, but I think it's a key one, is that storms hit both houses. It's not like the guy who built his house on the rock is exempt from getting the storms. Mm-hmm. But if we can find our contentment in Christ, the storms that come about, we're able to withstand them because we've built our lives, particularly finding our contentment, you know, in this situation, finding our contentment in the true source, the true foundation, and not some sort of false foundation that's going to slip out from under us when it simply can't bear the weight of our expectations anymore.
And, you know, I'm glad you said that the storms are going to hit both houses, because there are those in the evangelical community, even some Christian leaders, some pastors, who basically say, hey, you know, once you have faith in Jesus Christ, everything's going to be sunshine and roses, and it's going to go just great, hunky dory. And that whole health and wealth gospel really falls down on its face when you look at the whole of Scripture, where we read, in this life, you will have suffering. you will have persecution. These are guarantees. These aren't, you know, just, you know, possibilities. They're going to happen to you at some point. And so I get really concerned when there are people, and some of these, we're talking some big, big churches and some best-selling books that I think are selling people a bill of goods.
Yeah, and I think the scariest place for the Christian to be, particularly the 21st century American Christian to be, is in a place where his circumstances are exactly how he would like them to be, his stuff is all in order, and he has everything he's ever wanted, and he's completely content with who he is. Because if you're in a spot where you can find contentment in one of those or all three of those three things, you feel as though you no longer have a need to find your contentment in Christ and what he's done for you. So I think it's scary, terrifying to be in a place where your life is all in order, because it's then that I think the evil one has the – it makes his job a whole lot easier to get you to shift your contentment from Christ, the true source of contentment, to other items that you've acquired through your hard work and work ethic and all of that sort of thing. So I think Christians just need to be self-aware enough to say, hey, life's going really well right now. You know, if things are going really well, hey, life's going really well right now, but I'm going to continue to find my contentment in Jesus, just so that, you know, if my house were to burn down, or if I were to lose my job, or if my kids were to not love me or listen to me anymore, that I still have contentment, and ultimately that I can find joy because of Christ and what he's done for me, because those things are fleeting. I mean, especially I say in the selves portion, beauty is fleeting. Your idea of yourself is fleeting. You're not always going to look as nice and feel as nice as you do right now. And so these things can come and go and can ebb and flow and all of those sorts of things. But finding your contentment in Christ is ultimately what's going to bring you joy. And I think richness of life, whether that means possessions or not. But yeah.
Chris Martin is our guest. He is the Millennial Evangelical. You can learn more about him online, millennialevangelical.com. We'll take a quick break and be right back with Chris here on the Faith Radio Network. Welcome back. 49 minutes past the hour. You've got the Faith Radio Network. Our spring share event coming up just a little over a week away. And we want to encourage you to check out myfaithradio.com. Learn about this ministry. And if you believe strongly in what Faith Radio stands for and what we do on a daily basis, we'd like you to prayerfully consider taking part in spring share this week. Well, my guest via Skype is our Millennial Evangelical, Chris Martin, who always has some great thoughts and challenges my thinking, and wrote this great article on contentment. The true source of contentment, of course, is our relationship with Jesus Christ. But Chris, you also say that's a problem. Why is that?
Yeah, our problem isn't so much in the source of contentment, but our relationship with the source of contentment, or perhaps our perspective and how we see the source of contentment. Because a lot of times we try to find contentment in the immediate. We try to find contentment in our comfort. And ultimately, our ultimate contentment and comfort even is found in Christ and our relationship with him. But the problem is we expect that delivered immediately. You know, I mean, look at today's culture and Amazon 2-day delivery or even 1-hour delivery in some places via drone.
Yes, the drone's coming to your backyard very soon.
Yes, exactly. And now Domino's has a automatic car that has a pizza heater in the back that's going to drive the pizza to your house without even a driver in it.
Oh my gosh.
So we want all of these things immediately and brought to us, but our relationship with Christ isn't going to give us everything we want it to. So it's difficult to find contentment in it. The ultimate, if you want to say, quote unquote, payoff of our relationship with Christ is in eternity and enjoying our glorified bodies in glory with him in the new heavens and the new earth. But if we don't understand that, if we don't understand, like you said before, that following Christ is not going to make life all hunky-dory and sunny and happy and flowers and roses, then we get discontented with Christ really fast because we're expecting Christ – to provide something that he didn't necessarily promise us that he would give us. So our problem isn't – the problem isn't with Jesus, but what we expect Jesus to give us. I write, joy and peace are counted among the cornucopious fruit of contentment. When we find our contentment in Christ, our joy and peace are rooted in an untouchable source, one that is not stolen away by broken down cars or debilitating sickness. So that's so encouraging, but where we fall and where the problem is when we expect Christ to protect us from things that he never necessarily promised to protect us from.
Wow, that is so powerful. And part of that is, I think, our misunderstanding about the gospel, sometimes bad teaching, bad theology. I know you believe very strongly in preaching, teaching the whole of Scripture. And yet there are many in our culture, unfortunately, within the church, that they camp on a particular aspect of the Bible, a particular aspect of our Christian life, ignoring the whole. And that can be very dangerous because it can set people up for frustration and failure, can't it?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I think it's key to recognize that all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, all of Scripture points to Christ and to God, and to tell us who God is and what he's done for us, the nature and character of God and the works of God and the ways in which he's saved us and loved us. And one of the things that is I'm just kind of, you know, this just kind of struck me, and so I'm going to share it. One of the things that's always so encouraging to me as I read through Scripture, and the things that I forget, I'm noticing this as I do my little read the Bible in a year plan right now, is God's patience with his people. You know, you see that in Christ's relationships with his disciples and his, you know, in teaching them, and how they just don't get it a lot of times. But also just in the Old Testament, and how patient God was with his people. And I think a lot of times we forget that. I'm a very impatient person, and I think a lot of young people today are impatient. Like if our phone slows down for a hundredth of a second, we freak out. So I think it's easy, really easy, to get impatient. And so that when I read the Scripture, particularly God's relationship with Israel in the Old Testament, and see how patient he is with us, I'm just convicted to be so much more patient myself. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I think you lose if you don't value the whole of Scripture, and perhaps you consider yourself a New Testament Christian or whatever. I think you really lose that if you don't engage the God of the Old Testament, who's the same as the God of the New. So I am very much concerned about engaging all of the Scripture, because I think there's a lot that you can learn from the God of the Old Testament, or perhaps you're engaged in the God of the Old Testament, but not engaging in the New Testament as much. There's a lot you can learn by consuming the whole of Scripture and not just one particular pet favorite part of it that you like.
You just said something a minute ago that really challenged me, and I was thinking of this just as a dad. I have three kids, 13, 11, and 9, and you talked about God's patience as our Heavenly Father, and what a great example for every one of us who's a mom or a dad. The Bible says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not his judgment. It's not his wrath. It's not, you know, curses. It's his kindness. And with our kids, boy, if we can, in any small way, model that patience of our Heavenly Father, and I admit I struggle with that on a daily basis because I'm kind of an impatient guy too. I need God's power, God's Holy Spirit to help me in my role as a father. So Chris, thanks for bringing us back to the basics, some really critical things to remember. You can find Chris's entire article on contentment by going to his website. It's millennialevangelical.com, and also find a great article that Chris has written on young people and their view of marriage and starter marriages, some scary things. Maybe we can unpack that next time you join us, Chris. So thanks so much for being with us, and have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Bill.
Chris Martin, our millennial evangelical, here on the Faith Radio Network.